Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
The Grill Room doors are open. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Well, what do you think, Alex? I think we can actually say the 2014 calendar year in golf is officially at least taking a little bit of a break.
Well, I don't know about the calendar year. I know I am. Look, there was golf on television this week, and we're going to talk about it, but I don't really care about it. I'm tired. I'm done. The season starts, as far as I'm concerned, when we go to Kapalua. I mean, I like back in the old days, Bob, when the season started when we hit Doral. Remember those days?
Oh, it seems like eternity ago. Let me ask you this, Alex, because you said you're tired, and I can only speculate, obviously, that a lot of the players are tired. Is there a general pattern for guys that are on the tour? Let's say the guys that are playing in Maui, do they take any time off, or do they play practice, you know, a little bit every day, or they put the clubs away? You have any feel for that?
I think everybody is completely and utterly different, Bob. You know this too. When we get to Maui, you know, let's say there's 35 guys. There's not one guy that's done the same thing like the other guy in the field. Some guys decide that they're going to pick the clubs up a week before they go to Maui. Some guys decide that they're really going to focus on Maui. Some guys haven't even seen their clubs since the tour championship. I mean, as an example, if Furyk, which he's not, but if Furyk was in the tour, was in Kapalua this year, I know for a fact that, you know, because the only event he was going to play after the Ryder Cup was Tiger's event, and he had to pull out. That literally means that Jim Furyk would not have picked up his clubs since the middle of September going to Maui. And I doubt he would have picked up his clubs before he got there. You know, it just depends on each guy is different. I never understood personally. I understood taking the break, but I never understood going into Kapalua not having practiced a little, because let's be honest, it's 35 guys. You're already probably half the guys probably aren't going to play well because they haven't really practiced. So now you're down to like 17 or 18 guys you have to beat to win a lot of money and get a two-year exemption and get a great head start going into the season.
You know, the one thing that's fascinating, and we have both covered enough of the events at Maui and look forward to it each and every year. But, if you know, like you say, somewhere around 30 players are going to be competing. You can kind of break it down. Probably 10 of them are there and treating it almost as a family vacation. They bring a lot of the family. We got another 10 that haven't touched their golf clubs, as you alluded to just a moment ago. And they get there and they try and get a golf game real quick in that week. And then maybe there are 10 guys that have prepared properly, you know, for that opportunity to win $1 million or right around $1 million and that two-year exemption. So, boy, when you look at it that way, you would think, along with what you said, that they certainly would want to be ready. I mean, this is a golden opportunity to accomplish something, you know, so early in the year.
Right, and the other thing you didn't factor in, which changes a little now the way things are, is some of these guys are making equipment changes, and this would have been the first event that they've actually been able to implement the new equipment. So there's that as well. And I mean, you know, the full complement of trucks aren't out there in regards to the equipment manufacturers. So if they need to make a tweak or a change, it's not going to happen in week one. So there's all these things that are going on. But that being said, the season is over. It's been over. The interest level by most of the guys that play professional golf is waned considerably, and they just need a little time off going into 2015.
And I think maybe Stuart Appleby, a winner of that event in Maui three consecutive years, he ought to write a little book about how to prepare for Maui. I mean, when we look back at that, a three-peat there is pretty incredible.
No, it is. It definitely is, because obviously the golf course, the way it's set up, there's a lot of luck involved in winning a Kapalua. But yet, you know, I think you're going to find Jeff Ogilvy, who hadn't been back there for a while and who actually couldn't successfully defend because of an injury when he was there the last time, is not going to go back. And if you're looking at Australians early on, they got a pretty good chance. He would certainly be in that group.
Yeah, and for those that have not been fortunate enough to be there, can I ask you to try and paint a little picture that we get each and every year when we're standing behind that first tee at that golf course? What our eyes focus on is simply incredible.
Yeah, it's a view. It's a great view where you look out and you see a fairway that kind of turns a little to the left, but you keep looking out and all you're seeing is, you see a little more of Kapalua, you see the ocean, you see Molokai. I mean, it's a dramatic look from a first tee, probably the most dramatic look from any first tee that I can think of. And it is a great, great place to go. But you know what? I mean, it's just me personally that after a week, I'm ready to go somewhere else.
Well, I know you get spoiled easy with all that golf you get to play. And by the way, you might add to that view, and we have on many occasions been lucky enough to spot the whales jumping in the ocean. And you just stand there and you say, come on, there's no way this can be real. It's just, if you never play the golf course, but you get an opportunity to stand on the first tee, it is amazing. Well, like you said, Alex, most of the golf is done. The Web.com Tour Finals, they'll be finished on Tuesday, and that'll be it until the start of next year. So, as the year has wound down, we'll take a look at what transpired around the world of golf, and we'll do that when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses Equipment, for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, Insider's Golf Home, and heard on TuneIn.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
As promised, we said we'd go around the world of golf. I'm Bob, he's Alex, and we'll begin at a pretty nice place, South Africa. They were at Leopard Creek. It's the European Tour. It's their last event of the year, the Alfred Dunhill Championship. And, boy, the South Africans really love their golf.
Well, they do. Obviously, it's a bit of a trip from here, to be honest with you, to make it down there. But when you do, you know, there's a lot of South Africans on this tour, on our PGA Tour, that go down there. And it's a great time between that and Australia. Both places are a great place to go at this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember our trip down to South Africa, I was blown away, literally, by the beauty of Cape Town. I mean, you know, a magnificent city like that, Alex, right on the water. I mean, Boy, it's a rare sight, and you drive along that coast. I know Gary Player used to tell me, you know, they get excited about, you know, the drive. What is it called out at Pebble Beach there?
Oh, 17-mile drive.
Right, 17-mile drive. And Gary Player says, come to South Africa. We got 300 miles that look just like that. And, boy, he wasn't too far off. Some of the scenery down in South Africa, if you've never been there and you want to go to a rather exotic place but be able to play some quality golf, they got some great golf courses down there, we would both recommend that. The winner of the event, Brandon Grace, he goes wire to wire. It's his fifth European Tour win and third on his native South African soil. He maintains his 100% record of winning when leading or sharing the lead going into the final round. Let's give a listen to what Grace had to say about his victory.
You know, this is one that I think any South African wants to tick off the list. But, you know, it's a little bit extra special, obviously, winning, being the first guy to win both Daniels, you know. So that's something for the record books. But, you know, it's just to be in a great finish, an amazing week at an amazing place.
All right, Brandon Grace talking about winning the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Brandon Grace, Alex, pretty solid player.
Oh, he is. He is. It's interesting because he kind of struggled a little during a period of time. Actually, had Billy Foster on the bag for a while when Billy wasn't back on Lee Westwood's bag. But he brought his caddy back, Zach, and it's been a huge plus for him. Started to play better and better, and now he wins down in South Africa. So I think that. That combination is going to bode well. And, you know, I get back to what we've talked about in the past, Bob, the fact that when someone wins, no matter where it is or what the event is, you know, a win is a huge thing, and it can really propel you going into the rest of the A season or into the next season. And we'll see what happens with Brandon Grace, because he's certainly a talent, but at times has just not gotten it done. And here he's shown that he did get it done, and we'll see if this alludes to something bigger and better in 2015.
Well, you alluded to the fact that you might want to go to South Africa, you might want to go to Australia. We love both places. And they held the Australian PGA Championship. And I tell you what, it was an epic playoff, wasn't it, Alex? Adam Scott, Wade Ormsby, and Greg Chalmers. Well, they played the 18th hole over and over and over again. Matter of fact, it took to the seventh time playing that playoff hole before Greg Chalmers won. Kind of a disappointing finish for, you know, Adam Scott. He three-putted for a bogey, so a par one on the seventh hole, despite the fact that Adam Scott had a couple of golden opportunities to make birdie there, Alex, and win that playoff much earlier.
Well, I mean, first of all, are we serious? Do we really think that makes a lot of sense to play the 18th hole seven times? Can they not, you know, maybe come in with another hole? I don't understand that part. Second, Ormsby went out pretty early in the process, so it was basically Chalmers and Scotty. And, you know, I guess if you're a fan, that's great. If you're sitting there watching the 18th hole over and over and over again, but I know between the two of them, they were really probably ready to get it done.
You know, Chalmers, I think, has to be one of the leading candidates for ability and being under the radar. I mean, he just seems to win far more often, especially in Australia, than you would ever associate with the name Greg Chalmers.
Well, I think that's because, Bob, he just he has not had the level of success in the United States on the PGA Tour as he's had in Australia. And, you know, Craig Perry's probably a good example of that, too. I mean, he had a level of success in the U.S., but it was you know, a win here or there. His big success came in other places. And I think that happens. And, you know, you look at Greg Chalmers. You know, he's not like he's 6'4". He's not good looking like Adam Scott. Doesn't hit the ball like these guys. But you know, every once in a while, you'll see his name on the leaderboard. He's got himself in a situation that gives him a chance to contend. But has never really gotten it done in the U.S. And I think that's why he is so under the radar here in the U.S.
Well, he certainly has the right nickname. Well, he certainly has the right nickname, affectionately known as the Snake, because he does snake in a lot of putts. All right, let's jump on the plane in our trip around the world. Let's fly to Thailand for the Thailand Golf Championship, which was also an Open Championship qualifying event. Tell our listeners what I mean when I say an Open qualifying event.
Well, the RNA a couple years ago decided that certain events would be considered Open qualifying events, and depending on where you finished in the tournament, you might get a chance to get your invitation to the Open Championship. And obviously we exclude, or they exclude, those players that already have an exemption to the Open Championship. As an example, in this particular case, Lee Westwood, who won the event, already had an exemption in the Open Championship. Martin Keimer, who finished in second, he already had an invitation to the Open Championship. So those two guys weren't included into the group, so they just take the next four guys after that. And what's interesting is Marcus Fraser, who's a very good player from Australia, that's not interesting. Scott Hend, who, if people think about it, every once in a while his name crops up, playing well, winning an event, getting an exemption into something. I remember him winning or playing well enough to get an exemption into the U.S. Open. So he's an Australian that plays a lot in the U.S., lives in the U.S., but yet he got an exemption. But the guy that's the most interesting to me out of all of this is Jonathan Moore. Jonathan Moore was a very good player in college, played on the Walker Cup, actually played at Royal County Down Walker Cup, which was actually the last Walker Cup that Roy McIlroy played in, and played very, very well, but never seemed to have the game to get him over the hump in the professional ranks. And now he gets a sponsor's exemption into Thailand, shows up, finishes high enough to now get an exemption into the Open Championship. That, to me, is crazy. Is crazier than Lee Westwood winning is Jonathan Moore getting an exemption in the Open Championship.
Well, speaking of crazy things, Alex, you mentioned the name Scott Hend. He did qualify for the Open when it was at Congressional. That's the one that Rory McIlroy ran away and hid. But I remember the Wednesday prior to the start, I saw him, and I had been pretty good friends of Scott along the way, and he was wearing some nice slacks. And I said, "Hey, Scott, where'd you get those slacks?" He said, "Hey, I can hook you up." He said, "I'll give you the name of the tailor, and you know, he'll measure you, and yeah, you'll be in great shape." I said, "Good deal." I said, "Where's he located?" He says, "Well, he's in Tokyo, but you know, you could fly there, and you don't need an appointment. You'll be able to go in." So Scott Hend, known as a sharp dresser, but he gets his pants from Tokyo. And, hey, we'll look forward to seeing Jonathan Moore from the United States when we get to St. Andrews. You know, it's one thing to qualify for the Open this year, Alex, but they're going to St. Andrews, a place that you dearly love.
Yeah, it's a great place. We had a couple changes to the golf course again since we were there last. People will see subtle changes, a bunker added to the ninth on the left-hand side that never existed before. Around some of the chipping areas around some of the greens, they've kind of, I don't want to say moguled it, but they made it such that balls just don't funnel into one little place. It's going to make chipping around some of those greens a little more difficult than it has been in the past. So we'll see what happens. But I guess we need to say at some point here that Lee Westwood was the victor of this, only a second win this year, both coming in Thailand. I don't know if maybe he should think about moving from West Palm Beach and moving to Thailand. But it's a big thing again. Westwood needed something. He had committed to losing weight again, committed to getting himself in better shape, committed to playing better golf, and yet was not seeing any results from that, really any significant results from that. Now coming in, shooting, I think he shot 67 in the final round in Thailand and wins by one over Fraser and Martin Keimer. Big, big win, something that he can build on now going into the 2015 season, because let's be honest, he only has limited opportunities left to win that major that he dearly wants to win. So this should certainly help him, at least mentally, in that process.
So we'll take a short break, and then we'll move back to the United States to wrap up the Shark Shootout and the fun event, the Father-Son Challenge.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
As promised, let's move back to the United States and start with the PNC Father-Son Challenge. Very impressive field, including Jack Nicklaus and Jack Nicklaus II. Fun to see Lee Trevino and his son, Davis and Drew Love, Steve and Sam Elkington. But the winners are the Langers. Bernhard Langer has won this event with his oldest son. He's won it with his, his oldest son twice, and now with his youngest son. Three times he wins this event, Alex. That's amazing.
Well, I think I watched a little of it here and there, and first of all, Bernhard Langer is 57 years old. Is that correct? I think that's right.
Yep.
He finished in the top 20, I think it was, in the Masters this year. He won. He was just unbelievable on the Champions Tour. And then, as I think Roger Maltby credited him, he was someone that Paul McGinley at least looked at in regards to being on the Ryder Cup team, because McGinley actually called Langer before he made the selections to let him know that he didn't pick him. So, you know, here's a guy that's just had a tremendous, tremendous season. Then you add on the fact that his son, who's 14, who looked even more focused than his father did out there, played very, very well, made some putts, and then all of a sudden, voila, this is what you get.
Well, it's amazing. Bernhard Lange, winner of the Masters in 93 and 95, two-time winner. I'm going to try and stump you a little, and we never normally do this on this show. I'm going to be waiting for your answer, and you're going to have to give it to me really quick. How many guys do you think have won the Masters more than once?
How many guys?
Yeah.
Five.
How about 17?
Really? Is it that many?
17 guys have won more than one Masters. I was just looking it up when I was looking for Langer after he won that father-son. I know I was there in 93 and 95, but I was blown away just like you were, Alex. 17 guys winning more than...
Well, I guess if you think about it, Bobby, I mean, you could quickly go Jack, Raymond Floyd, Nick Faldo, Langer, Woods. There's five right there, and we haven't even delved that deeply.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and it goes on and on, but still, I thought it was an impressive number. Nobody has the spread between the championships. As you well know, your good buddy there, Jack Nicklaus, 23-year span from his first one in 63 to his last one in 86. That's probably a record that'll never be broken, Jack Nicklaus, with so many records.
Since you threw this in, I have to throw something back at you, which I thought was kind of interesting as I was reading the other day. Do you know how many European players have won the career Grand Slam?
None.
I know. It just doesn't compute that way, but that's true. None. And obviously Rory going into Augusta this year, outside of the fact that he's trying to hopefully win the career Grand Slam, he would be the first European. Now you just think about how many good European players there have been over the years, and there's been none.
Well, that's just another factor that's going to make what we can look forward to in April when we take that drive down Magnolia Lane for the Masters. Rory McIlroy going for the Grand Slam. And as you just pointed out, Alex, no European player has ever won the Grand Slam in golf, which seems amazing when you think, as you said, so many great players that have come from Europe. Now we got Jordan Spieth in that Masters mix. I mean, you know, it was last year at the Masters that served as a little bit of a crystal ball for us because, you know, on Sunday, this 20-year-old kid, Jordan Spieth, has the lead in the Masters, and we had heard about him, and he, you know, won the John Deere, but, you know, nobody was putting him ready to win a major, and he wasn't ready. But golly, after the last couple of events where he shoots a 63 to win at Tiger's tournament at Isleworth, he shoots a 63 to win. I think he won by 100 shots or something. I mean, he's going to be a factor when we get to Magnolia Lane. You pointed out Lee Westwood with his victory in Thailand. That's going to inspire him to maybe try and get his first Masters. It's going to be a good one. The 2015 Masters could be historic.
And well, and obviously, you know, I can't believe you haven't mentioned the return of a healthy Tiger Woods.
Well, he's going to win it, so I didn't want everybody to get too emotional in this holiday season.
Let me just ask you this. If you could take Tiger, Bubba Watson, or Rory McIlroy at Augusta right now, who would you take?
Well, I have to take Tiger based on cold, hard facts. Nothing emotional about that pick.
I'm sorry. I hate to digress here, but I'd just like to know what cold, hard facts we're talking about. He hasn't won the Masters since when was it now again?
05.
Oh, okay. I don't know what cold, hard facts you're talking about. That's why I was trying to understand it.
Well, the one cold, hard fact, the last time he won at Augusta, the year ended in 5, and now he has another opportunity to do it. That's enough karma for me. Tiger heads on to definitely win the Masters. Hey,
one last point on that.
Yes.
He has never won on the golf course that's currently configured, has he?
Well, I don't know if anybody has.
Well, Bubba Watson has.
Well, maybe.
What I'm saying to you is since they've made all the changes, done and dusted, he has not won on that golf course.
Well, just wait till April, my friend. Wait till April. And finally on the schedule, let's go to the Franklin Templeton Chalk Shootout. Jason Day, Cameron Tringali, Alex, they win by 2. Hey, pick up a nice little silly season check, $385,000 each. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Crazy, crazy. Let's hear what Jason Day had to say about the craziness.
Yeah, you know what? It was a team effort out there. You know, without Cam, we definitely wouldn't have won. To be able to step up there and hit a great shot into 17 and walk away with birdie with a one stroke lead was nice. You know, I was kind of going back the other way, so I'm glad that he stood up coming down the stretch and hit a lot of clutch putts. He's a great putter, good ball striker, and you know, it could have gone south pretty quick, but with a guy that putts it as good as he does, you know, for some reason I didn't have a lot of stress on my shoulders. I just felt like I just knew that he was going to play well coming down the stretch, so I'm happy for him.
All right, congratulations today, and Tringali, nice victory down at the Shark Shootout. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll have time for a hot topic this week, and that's going to be, is Rory as good as Tiger was in his prime? Certainly, Colin Montgomery and Johnny Miller have their opinions on the subject.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, Insiders Golf Home, and heard on TuneIn.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Hot topic, when talked about. Hot topic, you see. Hot topic, when talked about. Hot topic.
We're back and it's sizzling hot, and it's only going to intensify as 2015 comes upon us, and that is, will Tiger Woods get back to where he was at one time? And begs the question, Tiger at his best, Rory at his best, who was the better player?
Well, I don't know if we've seen Rory at his best yet.
I don't know if we've seen Tiger at his best.
Oh, come on, Bobby. Are you serious? It's over. That train has left the station. We've seen Tiger at his best. There's no question. I doubt that Rory could perform on a week-to-week basis like Tiger did. I don't think anybody could. I don't think there's anybody that we will ever see be able to, on a week-to-week basis, perform like Tiger Woods. And I think that's clear. However, at their pinnacle, in a particular event, I think seeing Rory the way he seems to be able to drive the ball, hit his irons, make putts, I think that you could argue that at the pinnacle, you might see Rory play better in a single event than Tiger did.
Well, and I can make the argument that I'll certainly give you the fact that Rory does drive the golf ball better than Tiger at his best. But nobody, and I mean nobody, was any better at making those crucial putts. And if you look back over his impressive victories, you'll see a lot of putts that were not for birdies. They were not for eagles, but they were par-saving putts, and they made the difference in so many rounds that kept them right there. We used to say on the air doing the play-by-play of Tiger that, you know, he looks like he's going to will this one in, and he did. And, you know, so far he's lost that, but everybody loses that. I mean, that's the first thing to go, you know, in golf games. You just don't make the same amount of putts you did when you were younger. But we'll have to wait and see. I think there's another huge run in Tiger. I think it'll come in April. He'd like nothing better than to come out ahead of Rory McIlroy, who's going to go into Augusta with all the fanfare that you could possibly ever generate for any event. And I think this is where Tiger shocks the golf world. Doesn't shock me, but he shocks the golf world when he slips on that green jacket.
Well, he'd shock me. I could tell you that right now. There'd be no question that I would not see that coming. But, you know, he's going to play, let me think, one, two, three, four or five events probably going into Augusta. And so that's when you're going to have a pretty good feeling.
Well, let's see what he does in those four or five events.
Right. Well, you know, Bob, obviously you're not the only one that thinks that Tiger may not be done yet. Adam Shupak in Golf Week wrote about the fact that Johnny Miller feels that they shouldn't write Tiger off yet as well. you know, if you talk to Jack, he feels that way. If you talk to most of the guys, the older guys, they feel that way. But yet, I don't think any of those guys have experienced the physical issues in their careers that Tiger Woods did. And now we're on back to whatever swing this is. And it certainly at times looked decent and other times it didn't. Can't chip the ball. Short game isn't anywhere near what it used to be. So, though you certainly have to defer a little to Johnny Miller, bottom line is that, you know, we're not going to really know. We're going to have to just wait and see. And I think you've talked about that as well. It's a wait and see attitude with Tiger Woods. We'll see what happens. I'm not saying I'm writing him off, but I certainly have, over the last 5 years, written him off for majors.
You're not saying you're writing him off. Yeah, nobody. You've used up 10 erasers on Tiger Woods' name. Well, all right. Johnny Miller brings up some good points. You can read all of that inside Golf Week.
I want to add something to that, though, too. Where's Montgomery come off saying that Rory is better now than Tiger ever was?
Where does Colin Montgomery come off saying 99% of the things that he said? I mean, Colin Montgomery, now that it's finished, now that he's won a couple of senior majors, has to wake up every day almost and say, how the heck did I not win a major while I was playing the regular tour as good as I was?
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. But that being said, we're done and dusted with this topic, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And let's jump from Hot Topic and Inside Golf Week to Focus on Vision. That's next.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Joining the Grill Room is Steve Trippi. He's Marketing Director for Nike Vision. So why don't you tell our listeners about these Nike Max Transition sunglasses?
Basically, Nike and Transitions Optical have teamed up to create a remarkable new lens technology. First, they have Nike's patented Max Optics technology, which eliminates distortion in the lens and has a 51% greater sweet spot over any competing lens designs on the market. Second, they're tuned to a specific sport environment, in this case, it's golf. And they do that by managing the light spectrum entering the eye, and that's needed to increase visual information on the golf course. Third, when the light changes, the lens changes. So it's always just perfect for you, no matter what the weather conditions are or the time of day. You're never having to worry about having too much lens tint or not enough. So it's constantly adjusting based on the amount of sunlight out there.
Listening to that explanation, Steve, I'm sure that it would help the average golfer when they play golf. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. The average person is going to really benefit from it. Number one, Transitions Optical Advanced Photochromic Technology. So that's the lens that's adjusting based on the amount of sunlight out there. And then you have Nike's patented engineered tints, like golf tint in this case. So golf tint will actually, it has like a purplish color to it. But when we set out to design a lens, we don't decide what color it's going to be. We're more scientifically trying to achieve what light spectrums are being reflected off of grass or the ball, which is the visual information you need when you're golfing. So the more visual information you have from the putting surface, the better you'll be able to read the putting surface. And the better you'll be able to read the putting surface, the less strokes it will take to get the ball in the hole. And that's what it's all about.
How many of you have flipped your sunglasses to the top of your head to try and sink that perfect putt or for a closer look at the green? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Try Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. They automatically adapt in all light and weather conditions so you can leave your sunglasses on throughout your game. They're the perfect tint for the entire game of golf.
Thanks, Steve Trippi, for being part of the Grill Room this week. To find out where to buy your Nike Max Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, please visit transitions.com/sunwear.
After a quick break, we'll get to Alex's favorite segment, News and Notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
We promised, we deliver. Alex's favorite segment, News and Notes. Let's kick it off, Alex, with Rory McIlroy, Paul McGinley. They were both up for the awards in the annual BBC Sports Personality Awards. McGinley came out on top, winning the Coach of the Year award, while McIlroy lost to Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton as BBC Sports Personality of the Year. Because it's personality, I don't know. I really don't have anything to say. I don't know very much about Formula One racing, but I know the voting is left up to the public, and I know in Europe Formula One is huge.
Well, I mean, I tweeted about this. I mean, I can't. You know, first of all, the bookies all had Rory McIlroy as the favorite, so it was a bit questionable when he didn't win. And then, if you look at the numbers, he didn't win by a lot. This Lewis Hamilton guy, who I had no idea who he was, won by a considerable margin. Now, reading some of the stuff out of the UK today, James Corrigan wrote something about the fact that, you know, basically, Lewis Hamilton won a lot on the Formula One circuit this year, and he only really had to beat one guy. He's got the Mercedes car, and it's supposedly superior. The technology of the Mercedes car is superior to most of the other cars out there, first of all. And second of all, he's only had to beat one other guy. There's only one other guy that's really competitive out there, I guess. So, versus Rory McIlroy, who went on a string that very few people have seen in quite a few years in regards to winning both those majors against certainly not more than one person that he had to compete against. So it just seems a little odd and a little disappointing, actually. There is even some calls for people that suggest that maybe those awards should not be done by the public. But, you know, I mean, it's the BBC, for goodness sakes. We're not going to take it in-house. But that being said, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, it really was. Nick Faldo, by the way, the only golfer to have won that award, and that was 25 years ago. All right.
Let me just ask you one thing. Are we suggesting that 25 years ago, Nick Faldo's personality was better than Rory McIlroy's today?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If Nick Faldo had only one guy to beat, he would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, that's ridiculous. But anyways, there you go. It's a new world, so let's move on.
All right, let's move on to a new world, and that's the world of televising golf. And it made its debut on Fox Sports. The first ever golf broadcast for Fox came at the Shark Shootout. Give me a little bit of a report card, Alex, and be as kind as you possibly can.
Well, the only thing I'll say is when Joe Buck started the broadcast, tampering down expectations of how good the team would be, that probably gives you a pretty good idea of where they think they were, much less what anybody else thinks they were. Look, doing golf on television is a very, very difficult proposition. requires a lot of different things, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have to be tight, what I would say tight and bright, quick snippets, giving information, not telling us what we're seeing on the television screen. It is very hard if you have not done television golf in a while or have ever done it. It's very difficult to not to fall back on talking about when you were playing versus what's going on right now. And thirdly, if you don't spend a lot of time with these guys on a daily basis or a weekly basis, it's very hard for you to provide any real insight into what's going on with their game or their swing. That being said, Fox is in it for the long haul. I'm sure they'll figure it out. They'll have different things they'll do. They'll spend a lot of time with different graphics. They'll spend a lot of time with their talent working on that, and eventually they'll get it figured out, or at least something will be figured out. Some kind of product will be figured out that will be palatable to the consumer. But certainly, what they did this week probably is not what they were hoping that they would get out of it, and probably not what the consumer was hoping to get out of it either.
Well, let me ask you this. Who had a worse weekend, Fox or Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, you know, I think Johnny Manziel's quarterback rating was 1. I mean, seriously. And you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not sure it was all him. I mean, just like when Hoyer was there, I don't think it was all him either. I mean, you don't go from winning football games to all of a sudden not winning football games. You don't all of a sudden become a bad quarterback in 3 weeks. There's something more going on in Cleveland than we're aware of. Johnny Manziel was hoped to be the savior and clearly is not going to be the savior. I don't think Manziel should take it personally, and I don't think that Fox should take it personally either.
Good point, and we certainly wish the people at Fox best of luck. You described it very accurately, Alex. If you haven't done it before, it is a tough proposition. Speaking of a tough proposition, golf in the Olympics, back in the news again. Adam Scott brings up a great point, says he wants to be part of it. But if you really, really wanted to grow the game, you'd have the Olympics for amateurs.
Well, maybe that's what the RNA, the PGA Tour, the USGA, the Masters, everybody else wants. They want to grow the game. The Olympics doesn't care about growing the game. The Olympics cares about ratings. They're selling television rights all over the world. They're making money. That's what they do. So they're not going to – no one is going to care, as an example. No one's going to care if it's Jonathan Moore playing for the U.S. in Rio. They're going to care if it's Adam Scott playing for Australia. They're going to care if it's Rory McIlroy playing for Ireland. They're going to care if it's Tiger Woods playing for the U.S. They're not going to care if it's a bunch of amateur guys playing.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. One more item that you were...
You know, actually, too, Bob. There's two things that I meant to add to this and I didn't. The first was I noticed there's a story recently where Nick Price is continuing to push Tim Fincham on trying to change the format for the President's Cup. And I think it's worthy to note that the change of format would only make the event better, not worse, to lessen the exposure to the international side versus increasing it as they have done in the President's Cup. Going to something more like a Ryder Cup format would give the internationals a better chance. It doesn't seem Tim Fincham is moved by that in any way, shape, or form. But if you talk to Nick Price, if you talk to Ernie Els, two of the huge proponents of doing this, I don't know why the PGA Tour and Tim Fincham are against it, but they seem to be.
And there was one other item you mentioned.
Yeah, it was kind of off the cuff, but the Folds of Honor, which is certainly started as a golf charity, certainly it's got its roots in golf, thoroughly in its roots in golf, has done a deal with Quick Trip, which is one of the, like, the 7-Eleven kind of like little stores that are out there around the United States, and they're together going to sponsor a NASCAR sprint car event March 1st in Atlanta at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I think that's a huge thing because obviously the Folds of Honor have become a bigger and bigger charity. They spend their money on helping those in families that need it, that have lost or have servicemen that can't earn like they used to, that are because they've been injured significantely. The Folds of Honor is there to help these kids go ahead and go to school and progress along with their lives. And it's a huge now charity. And they've done a lot of good things, and now they're taking this next step into sponsoring an event. Now, you really do wonder that at some point, could you see them sponsoring a PGA Tour event? Is that, or an event on theweb.com, or a Champions Tour event, or an LPGA Tour event? Is that the next step? We've seen charities in the past. Las Vegas comes to mind with the Shriners that have gotten involved in events. Could you see this organization doing that? I don't know. It's possible, certainly. And I think there's many players that would be involved in trying to help that along.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Anything that the Falls of Honor goes into, we wish them tremendous, tremendous success. It is a good, good charity that's doing a lot of good things.
Well, Bobby, that's it for the week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you get the inside story every week and heard on TuneIn.
And a big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, and to Golf Week. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, also on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show, and on golfweek.com.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.